Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin Full Year 2013 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the year-end results conference call. As usual, I will comment the main elements of the business, focusing on sales trends, placements, and business development activities that happened in the last quarter of 2013. Following, Mr. De Angeli will guide you through the financials and the guidance for 2014. Let me remind you that Q4 results are just a managerial outlook since we are reporting just the full year result. Also, due to the strong impact of exchange rate on different lines of our P&L, I will discuss revenues at both constant and current exchange rate where necessary. Let's start from an overall picture. Overall, Q4 revenues were strong in all geographies. In fact, in Q4, sales grew over 5% at constant exchange rate, allowing us to close 2013 2.5% higher than previous year. As in all previous quarters, the main growth driver have been the Clea X Vitamin D products that grew over 22% in Q4 and 17% on annual basis at constant exchange rate. We will see that in all geographies, products introduced in the last year or so, and I'm referring to the new assays for diagnosis of infectious disease in stool and the foot-borne virus hepatitis line, these have been the products that supported growth. Vitamin D, as seen in the previous quarters, declines at a slower rate but remains very strategic for DiaSorin to allow us to expand the Clea X Vitamin D business in a certain market segment. I will provide more color to this statement when I will comment the Labcorp agreement. Let me now focus on the main geographies. In Europe, we enjoyed a strong Q4 with a growth of over 5% that allowed us to close the year 4.5% over the previous year. Let me remind you that in 2013, the main European markets were flat at best or decline according to the European Diagnostic Manufacturing Association statistics. As far as DiaSorin, in Germany and Italy, we grew respectively 21% and 6.4% in Q4. These were the driver, the two geographies have been the driver for the good result of Europe overall. In Germany specifically, two things are working very well for DiaSorin. First, Germany is the largest market in Europe for stool testing. We estimate, in fact, that this market is valued between 30 million and 40 million euros. The availability now of five products on the LIAISON instrument for the stool testing allow us then to start winning sizable business, which today is in the hands of smaller domestic German companies. Second, for Germany, the launch of aldosterone completed the hypertension panel, allowing us to get lucrative business in the very large private labs. As far as Italy is concerned, we continue to win business throughout all the different product line, either directly ourself or partnering with different companies that are operating Italian territory. Now let's move to Asia Pacific. In Asia Pacific, the business grew 25% in the quarter and 17% full year. Clearly, China had a very good year with a 33% growth over previous year just for quarter four. The installation of XCell has started to peak after the recent approval of the full hepatitis line and is expected to continue in the next quarters. In China, we have now reached a total install base of more than 500 systems, and we see the Liaison XL as the perfect fit for growing mid-sized hospital market. Now let's move to Latin America. In Latin America, we saw strong growth in Q4, especially in Brazil, where at constant exchange rate, the business grew 30% over previous year. I would like to focus, though, on Mexico, where after few slow quarters with single-digit growth, we have now seen sales growing, and we expect to see stronger sales going forward. This is because this market is particularly fit for our blood virus hepatitis products due to the presence of almost 400 small-sized blood banks, which are perfect size for the Liaison XL. Let me remind you, in fact, that in Mexico, with the registration of the last product for blood banking, which is the Chagas product, we have now the full assay panel necessary to compete in this market segment. Last, let's discuss about the U.S. Let me start with the LabCorp agreement. For the ones who are not familiar with this deal, let me summarize the main terms of the deal. LabCorp is our main customer worldwide and our historical partner for vitamin D. Last year, as discussed during the last quarter results, we have swapped all our Liaison install base at LabCorp with the new Liaison XL, which better fit with the high volume testing needed by labs of this size. This was pivotal to discuss with this customer the opportunity to adopt the Liaison XL for other products, so products other than vitamin D, and more specifically for all the infectious disease products for which we are leader worldwide and that have been recently made available on the Liaison XL in the U.S. As we speak, 15 new products have been validated at LabCorp and will soon get in the routine. We expect to go fully in routine at the end of Q1 or beginning of quarter 2 of 2014. Also, the current agreement has been extended until 2018 with mutual benefit and satisfaction, providing longevity to our very relevant vitamin D business that we hold with this account. I like this deal because it proves that in the U.S., even if we have suffered clearly for the suicidal pricing strategy of some of our large competitors, our vitamin D franchise is helping us to diversify the business and make it stronger, especially in the big labs where we still hold a strong position with vitamin D. This is clearly demonstrated by the growth rate of the Clia X vitamin D business, which in the U.S. grew 22% at constant exchange rate in 2013 and will continue to deliver strong growth in the next quarters. As far as margins are concerned, before we move to the financial, if we look at the immunoassay business, carving out the cost to support the molecular business, at constant exchange rate, the EBITDA has been relatively stable, around 39%, over the last few quarters, proving, if still needed, that this company can deliver high margins even with a reduced contribution from vitamin D. At this point, I will leave the podium to Mr. De Angelis, who will drive you through the financial, and then we're going to open the Q&A session.
Thank you, Carlo. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Let's start having a look at income statement. As already commented by Carlo, all the income statement lines in 2013 have been particularly affected by the negative foreign exchange rate. In particular, amongst the currency, we are exposed to the United States dollar, the Australian dollar, and also to the Brazilian reais and the South African rand, which all register a wide depreciation against the euro. Having said that, let me remind you that in 2013, DiaSorin continued its hedging policy versus the United States dollar. I'm sorry. Comment on revenues. When we look at the group revenues, we reported for the full year 434.8 million of euros, with a negative incidence of 9.8 million euros versus last year, driven by the fluctuation of the currency. At constant exchange rate, revenues increased by 2.5% versus 2012, and this result is in line with the guidance for 2013 that we provided last year. Molecular business in 2013 contributed for 3.3 million of euros to the total turnover. Our revenue growth at constant exchange rate has been driven by the strong revenues of all our CLIA products, net of vitamin D, equal to 17.6%, and of our instrument and consumable sales, equal to plus 11.8%. Vitamin D negatively affected the turnover with a decrease of 9.8% at constant exchange rate. However, with a negative contribution slowing down in the second part of the year. Gross profit of the group in 2013 totaled 299.7 million of euros with an incidence on revenue of 68.9%, which increase of 40 basis points comparing with last year, thanks to the stability of the margins of all our CLIA products. The operating expenses increased comparing to 2012 mainly as a result of the cost to support the launch of the molecular business and the increase of sales and marketing and technical assistance people to support the immunodiagnostic business following the strong increase of our Liaison and Liaison XL install base worldwide. With the other operating expenses, we register a negative impact coming from the exchange rate fluctuation that was related to the intercompany commercial balance and that was equal to 2.3 million of euros. As a result of all that said, our statutory EBITDA totaled 163.1 million of euros in 2013, with a negative impact coming from the exchange rate equal to 5.3 million of euros. The operating expenses related to R&D and to the creation of a dedicated sales force for the molecular business influenced the group's EBITDA for 6.9 million of euros on the entire year 2013. As a consequence of this, the statutory EBITDA margins was equal to 37.5%. However, if we include the molecular business and the negative exchange effect, the EBITDA margin would have been equal to 39.7%, in line with what we have shown through all the 2013. As far as the taxation is concerned, in 2013 we registered a tax rate of 35.7%, slightly lower than 2012. Net profit. As the consequence of the unfavorable exchange rate effect on all the income statement line, the net profit totaled 83.1 million of euros in 2013 with an incidence on the total revenue equal to 19.1%. Let me now drive you through the most relevant effects occurred on the balance sheet. During 2013, the net working capital increased by 4.1 million of euros as a consequence of the growth of our inventory and receivable, only partially offset by the decrease of our liabilities. More in details, trade receivable increased by 3.7 million of euro, primarily due to the increase of the turnover in the last quarter and the trend of our receivable in Spain. As far as Spain is concerned, it is worth mentioning that in 2012 we benefit from a significant cash-in of receivable coming from the past position to the public sector, which did not occur again in the last part of 2013, but that we cash in the month of February of this year, and we cash 5 million euros. Inventory increased by 2.5 million of euros due to higher stocks and of strategic raw material and semi-finished products. This is normal in our business. Whenever we have in pipeline new products ready for the launch in the following months, we need to provide our manufacturing sites with the necessary inventory to grant the supply of finished products for at least 6 months after the commercial launch of the new product. Let me remind you on this point that Diasonin is able to launch between 6 and 8 new products every year, with a run rate of one new product every 1 month, 1 month and a half. Other assets and current liability increase of 2.7 million of euros, mainly due to the balance of tax debits. At December 31st, once again, Diasonin registered a very solid net financial position, equal to 98 million of euros, with an improvement of 50.8 million of euros from 31st December 2012. Last but not least, in 2013 we have been able to generate a free cash flow equal to close 80 million of euros. As a consequence of the results achieved in 2013, the Board of Directors of Diasonin S.p.A. this morning approved the motion for the allocation of the net profit, including the payment of a gross dividend of 29.9 million of euros, equal to 0.55 euros on each share outstanding, with the exception of treasury share with May 19, 2014 coupon date, May 21st, 2014 record date, and May 22, 2014 payment date. The Board of Directors of Diasonin S.p.A. furthermore resolved to call a shareholder meeting on April 23rd, 2014 on the first calling, and if it's necessary on April 28, 2014 on second calling. Guidance. Let me conclude by providing you the guidance of the group for 2014. In view of our operating performance after December 31, 2013, and taking into account that our strategy is working across all the products, menu and geographies, we expect to see our revenues growing between 3 and 5% at constant exchange rate, our group EBITDA growing around 3% always at constant exchange rate, our installed base of Liaison and Liaison XL growing with around 500 new units. At this point, I thank you very much for your attention, and if Carlo has nothing more to add, I will open the Q&A session.
Fine. So, operator, let's open the Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. I guess the fairly obvious question is, you're talking about 3 to 5% sales growth but only 3% EBITDA growth, which implies you're investing more money somewhere or you're expecting margins to go down for other reasons. Could you perhaps elaborate on how you see the profit development at that level across 2014?
Martin, sorry, we cannot hear the question. Can you just repeat it?
I'm struggling to hear you as well, Carlo, but let me try again.
Thank you.
You're talking about 3 to 5% sales growth, but only 3% EBITDA growth. I guess the short question is why?
Well, the answer is relatively simple. We see that we will retain, from a margin perspective, we see sustainability of current margin. From an operating expense perspective, we believe that we are going to increase to a certain degree the OPEX. On one side, it does come with a natural growth of OPEX coming from increase of cost of labor and so forth. But by the same token, we have some strategic research and development project which will start in 2014 that should increase our research and development cost expected starting from 2014. Not significantly, but enough to erode 1-2 percentage points from revenue growth.
Okay, and coming back to that 3-5% revenue growth guidance for 2014, I guess given that we're vitamin D pricing pressures seem to be easing and the rest of chemiluminescence appears to be doing very well, what's holding it back to 3-5% rather than, say, mid to high single digit?
On one side, I think pragmatism, because I think that today there is uncertainty in a lot of different markets. And you know, this company, we have always been very careful to provide guidance that are realistic and explainable. And I'm referring specifically to the fact that, as you know, in the U.S., today the U.S., as a result of the reform, is very difficult to predict where the market goes. And as far as certain events which are happening in certain strategic countries, and China is a good example, where they've been talking about cutting the reimbursement for certain products. They do it regularly. But this time, because of the strong growth of the market, there are strong rumors that some reimbursement may be cut. And therefore, we decided to take a pragmatic outlook vis-a-vis what this company can deliver under the current circumstances. We will know better after quarter one and quarter two if some of this impact will happen or not.
Okay, and how specifically are you thinking about the Roche deal and the LabCorp deal in terms of 2014?
As we have discussed already, the Roche deal will not necessarily affect 2014 because it starts only in the last quarter, so does not have an effect on this year, on 2014. As far as LabCorp is concerned, we will start to see effects in the U.S. numbers starting from initially Q1, but then a full effect on quarter two, and we will see two effects here from the LabCorp deal. On one side, reduce revenues from the vitamin D because the contract has been renegotiated down but extended, and by the same token, more than compensated by increased revenues of Clear X vitamin D with all the infectious disease products.
And is that going to be the effect of vitamin D impacting predominantly in Q2, but then that reversing across the year as the new products develop greater sales, or is that going to be a net positive from the outset, do you think?
No, they go pretty much in line because with the increase of adoption of certain products, then certain pricing goes into effect, and I cannot get into the terms and conditions, but the net result will be that we will enjoy additional incremental revenue with this very relevant customer compared to previous year on one side, and by the same token we'll diffuse the potential risk because LabCorp does represent a significant portion of our U.S. business, and this business has been secure and diffused along with 15 other products for the next 3 years, 3 to 5 years.
Just very quickly, before I get back in the queue, just coming back to the Roche deal, there's no cost implication
No.
The first three quarters.
No, I'm not referring. When I'm saying research and development, I'm not inferring that there is any additional cost into the Roche deal.
Okay, that's great. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks, Colin.
Thank you.
The next question is from Scott Bardo of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my questions. So vitamin, so the Clear franchise, net of vitamin D, looks to be doing incredibly well. On the flip side, vitamin D does not. It seems to be falling around 10% in CER, which is a little bit higher than I think you initially anticipated this year. I think if I understood correctly, you were anticipating some degree of stabilisation in that franchise, and also going forwards. But now it sounds like there's an expectation that vitamin D is also going to contract further into 2014. So you explained a little bit about LabCorp, but can you perhaps just give a little bit more detail as to why vitamin D has declined at a more rapid rate than you thought a couple of months or quarters ago? That would be helpful. Thank you.
Yes, if you remember, we said that vitamin D negative contribution in 2013 should have been around 10 million. And the 10 million vitamin D decline was net of a 1 million euro business we were expecting to get from Japan. So that was the calculation.
Yeah.
Compared to that, in 2013, the decline of vitamin D was not that far off. In fact, it was a couple of million higher than what expected. That in the grandeur scheme of our vitamin D revenues is a drop in the ocean. So I think that as far as 2013, what we got was pretty much spot on. Now, what I said about going forward on vitamin D, I said that every time we renegotiate contracts, especially with larger customers, and this is a very good example, the LabCorp deal, what happens is that you do provide discount on one product in order to get more business with different products. One of the problems that we typically had in the U.S. was that when we got the wrong call about discounting vitamin D with nothing to offset the discount, and so it was a negative loss due to the fact that we are just losing vitamin D revenues. Now, the LabCorp example provides a clue of what happens in the future with vitamin D. So yes, the franchise will continue to go down because it's too big for us in some of these deals that we have in the large labs. But but when we will provide a discount on vitamin D, which is not to the extent that we have seen in the past, because that was more driven by competition showing up, and this is instead driven by negotiation with the customer about extension, we are going to get additional business for ClearX vitamin D business. Okay, this is very clear to me. So I don't expect vitamin D in 2014 going forward to decline as an effect of competition to the same level that we've seen before. I expect it to decline as a result of a negotiation that brings over more revenues of ClearX vitamin D.
Very clear and seems very sensible as well. But in terms of magnitude, I mean, should we be expecting a similar sort of magnitude decline going forwards, or would that even accelerate given this new sort of pricing structure that you implement?
No, I don't think that it will accelerate, and I don't think it will be to the same extent that we have seen in 2013. Keep in mind that net off a one-off deal which we cut with LabCorp, that is a very sizable portion of our U.S. business, that one has been clearly renegotiated. We took an impact on vitamin D, and we generated more business as profitable with the other 15 products. But to make a long story short, the impact, overall impact, is not going to be to the extent that, which I keep saying is fairly limited, considering the amount of business we have, to the extent that we have seen in 2013.
Understood. Can I just touch upon the molecular business? Because obviously you've been growing out that business from a pretty small base and still investing in that platform. It feels a little bit like this business is requiring slightly higher investments and taking a little bit longer than was perhaps initially anticipated at the outline of the Capital Markets Day a few years ago. Is that a correct interpretation? Can you help give a little bit more flavor as to how long it will take to get this business profitable, you know, when how meaningful the investments need to be, and what really is limiting this business from moving forward.
Let me just use an example of a company that is that has been working with the same technology as we have, Lolamp, and has started from scratch developing a business. This company, which had a very strong franchise on a specific product, which is C. difficile, has developed a lamp product very successfully and launched it with, I think, more than 1,000 system placed in a very small amount of time. But the result of this success is that they pretty much went to the existing business, existing customers, and enjoy the conversion of business from one technology to another, because the market was going away from traditional immunoassay into more molecular. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our business model was different, meaning that we don't intend to. So we're not replacing existing technology. Because the market is not shifting, we are simply adding to existing customers more product. As I think I discussed already in the previous quarters, we have been optimistic in the past in terms of customer adoption rate, meaning that we thought that the evaluation of these technologies would have been much faster, and the adoption much faster, whereas we see that it takes longer today to evaluate. So, going back to the example of the other company that played in this field, LAMP is the right technology, yes. Can we set up an install base of 1,000 systems in the 24 to 36 months? No, because we're not cannibalizing existing products with a different technology. And it's going to take longer to develop, yes. Are we going to spend more than we expected in terms of adding additional resource? No, this is in line with what we expected. Clearly, there is a negative contribution to the EBITDA, which will last longer than what we expected. But net-net, if you think about it, in 2013, with a total EBITDA of 163 million euros, we dedicated no more than 4% of that EBITDA to a futuristic technology. So am I worried about molecular? No, I'm not, because I consider it as an opportunity to innovate going forward. Am I comfortable with the technology? Yes, absolutely. I'm comfortable with the technology. Keep in mind that some companies that were not present in the molecular diagnostic field and decided to get into this field for just to buy a position with a technology have spent hundreds of millions of euros, and I'm referring to a very recent transaction which has been conducted by a European company that got in the space through acquisition. So I think it's a small ticket item in order to be there for the future, but as I said many times and also at the beginning, the diasorin future does not depend on molecular, it does depend on the ability to continue to deliver new products, the success of the Excel, and the success of the sale in certain technologies.
That's very clear, and just one last follow-up on that, if possible. Obviously, you know, cash flow dynamics have been very attractive for the business. Historically, we've seen periods of excess liquidity rewarded with a special dividend. I just wonder whether, you know, the fact that you've announced a healthy but a more normalized dividend this year is indicative of, you know, your appetite to commit to M&A, perhaps even in molecular, given that it's running a little bit slower than perhaps you would initially like.
I think that as far as dividend and dividend policy is concerned, this is a matter that is handled by the board of directors. We decided to improve the dividend 10%, and I think we've been doing this consistently over the last few years. As far as M&A, as said before, yes, absolutely, we are looking. We've been constantly looking into opportunities. However, I think we enjoy the fact that we don't need necessarily to buy companies. We buy company when it makes sense to buy and the valuation is right for the Yasorin, because we do have all the assets to guarantee internally development of the business over the long term. So, as said, we continue to explore. We bought assets in the past. I believe we're going to get to buying assets in the future, but I'm not obsessed about M&A unless it really makes sense for Diasorin. I'm more inclined to spend money internally for research and development in order to guarantee that products will get to the market as promised.
Thank you very much. I'll jump back in the queue.
The next question is from Daniel Baldini of Oberon Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks very much for taking my call. I'm wondering if you've heard of a company in Silicon Valley called Theranos, which I've been reading about recently. And I'm wondering if you do, or if you are familiar with this company, whether you have an opinion about their technology and their business plan and whether it might seriously disrupt the diagnostic testing market here in the U.S.
Yes, I heard about it, and it would be very difficult not to hear about it because just look at the board of directors. I think you have everybody, with the exception of the current president, inside. But if you talk about the technology, I have no idea because I think that today we've not really seen the company in the market. If you think about the point of care, a lot of discussion about it, lots of yapping about it, but we have not seen much out there. As far as if you want to comment on the point of care market on my side, I think that is a lucrative market going forward because I believe that there's going to be, especially in certain in markets like the U.S., a polarization between very large account or physician office labs, which will try to compete, getting together against the outsourcing, benefiting from in-house testing and the rewards provided by the current reimbursement system. So is it a way to go? Yes. Do you have an idea about what this company will do? I think your guess is as good as mine.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Scott Bardo of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just a question on the financial guidance. I think you're indicating then about 3% EBITDA growth on a constant currency basis. And I think if my numbers are correct, then we're factoring in something like a 2% currency headwind for you into 2014, which would broadly imply a flattish year-on-year EBITDA growth for you, maybe up 1% or something. Is that how you see it, or are there other effects, hedging effects, we need to consider?
Listen, I wish I had the visibility on... every time we try to build a budget... with an exchange rate, I think we always missed it. To a point that today our budget are built at constant exchange rate, and then we consider, and then we have a hedging policies, and then we consider the exchange rate as something that we take as it comes. So I have no idea.
Okay, but at the moment, as you see it, there is a headwind at least to consider on top of that guidance.
Really, listen. As far as we are concerned as a group, we are exposed to three currencies: dollar, Australian dollars,
yeah,
and Brazilian reais. You tell me how these three currencies will go, and I think we can make money in a different business.
okay, more generally then. you know, Daiichi's come an awful long way in sort of coming through the pressures to the vitamin D franchise after a phenomenal period of growth. Your placements in Liaison XL are truly impressive, and the clear growth looks exciting. I guess the question is, here we have a year of moderate top-line growth, flattish earnings development. Can you help us understand whether you think that this changes at all? Do you see an inflection point where your growth will start to accelerate, and even whether your margins can expand, or do you think margins are at a satisfactory level, and that this sort of 3 to 5 cent top line growth is a sensible sort of growth for a business such as DiaSorin?
Listen, I think that in today's environment, providing precise outlooks going forward and very aggressive would be difficult, because a lot of different things are really changing. And therefore, being pragmatic, I think that we should tell ourselves what we can deliver under the current scenario, and then wait and see, and try to beat those estimates if the market allows us to do so. In 2013, if you think about it, when everybody else really suffered in Europe, we had a phenomenal year in Europe, because I consider Europe over 5% growth, with a growth of 13% in Germany, 6% in Italy, a good year. Keep in mind that the European system is changing rapidly. We don't know where it will go, and everybody is to try to get more money from the healthcare system. Okay, so I think that as far as 2014 is concerned, and all the visibility we have, and what we expect to see, a growth of 3 to 5% for this company, which means that we will continue to deliver an over 15% growth rate on the Clearx vitamin D. It's a good place to be, and we will see going forward if some of our assumptions are right or wrong.
Thanks very much indeed.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Anastasia Karapova of Kempen. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. I actually have two, but regarding the negotiation of the contract, when do you expect most of the contract in US or in total to be renegotiated? When we expect to have the full impact, to see the full impact of negotiations? And secondly, do you see the room for improvement in free cash flow generation?
No, I don't see room for improvement of free cash flow. I think as is good enough. It's a combination of top-line development, margin and investment necessary to sustain the business. As far as contract, but this has nothing to do with vitamin D. It has to do with contracts in general. We have tenders which usually last between 3 to 5 years. And so mathematically, if you think about it, you are going to see a renegotiation of pretty much 20-25% of your current base on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the business.
But there is no like extraordinary renegotiations above 25%. So there is no urge to renegotiate.
No,
it's just on a usual run.
No, the elephant in the room clearly was LabCorp, because of the size of the business that we had, and this way we were very keen in working with them and renegotiating the contract that is done. Is a long-term contract. That was an outlier because of the size. All other contracts we have are a regular course of business. So
okay.
From a size perspective and from an ability to extend.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Luigi De Bellis of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Just a follow-up on the outlook for 2014. If you may, can you elaborate a little bit more about your assumption behind the 2014 guidance for vitamin D, CLIA X vitamin D and molecular diagnostic business in terms of top line like-for-like trend? Thank you.
As far as CLIA X vitamin D, as I said, we expect growth to continue around 15%. As far as vitamin D, again, it's difficult to give you a number because without really providing terms and conditions of the LabCorp agreement, so net of LabCorp, so taking the effect of LabCorp out, we expect the vitamin D decline to be less than what we had in 2013. As far as molecular growth is concerned, we expect to get in the range of 5 to 6 million euro worth of business. And then you need to take into account, though, the fact that we still have ELISA, RIA, and the Murex business, which is the underlying business, which still represents 20% of our overall franchise.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you, operator. Thank you all.